Hey friends, welcome to the LiverVise podcast. Today we're going to be diving into some specific reasons to get journaling into your daily habit. And not only the reasons why you should consider this as part of your daily routine, but how do we begin this process? This is a question I get asked a lot, knowing that I am a very big journaler and have been for a number of years. So I'm excited to share with you my tips and ideas on how you can get started with your own journey in journaling. This is the LiverVise podcast, a weekly show aimed at helping you uncover your purpose and live it with passion. I am your host, Christy Browning, and the owner of Revision Motivational Company, a company where we create a lot of cool things to help you go live that life you've been dreaming of. We want to help you live bigger, bolder, brighter lives that speak your language, that light your fire, that help you show the world exactly what you were created to be. Some things you may want to know about me is that I've been on the TEDx stage. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. I now live in Indiana, and I am obsessed with dogs. I'm so glad to have you here, and I can't wait to share each week these tips, these interviews, these ideas that will help inspire you for a greater life. It was, I believe, my 12th or 13th birthday when I received my very first journal. It was a gift from a family at my church at a birthday party. And at the time when I received it, I thought it was a diary, which I guess in some ways is the same as journaling. But of course, as a teenager, journaling / diary, it was all going to look the same. We were going to write about boys and school life and homework and hard teachers. And that's kind of where my journaling began. I started writing in it almost on a nightly basis as I would go to bed at night. And it would just help me sort of unpack my heart and head from the day. And sometimes these journal entries were written to somebody as if I was writing a letter to somebody. And what I have found over the years is that it was mostly like writing out my prayers each evening. Now, a lot has changed since then, but that is how I got started in journaling. I will tell you that it has become the one thing that helps me stay sane in the craziness of life. I remember journaling and spending time in my journal when things were great and I had lots to celebrate and lots to be thankful for and memories that I wanted to catalog and record. Maybe it was aha moments of lessons that I have learned that I wanted to get down on paper. But a lot of it is my emotions that I needed to sort out. And my journal is a safe place to do that. Sometimes I will journal how I'm feeling about something or some emotions that are packed around circumstances as a way to kind of wrap my head and, more importantly, my words around how I'm feeling. So then I can take that and go talk to my best friend or my husband or even pray for that matter. Because sometimes when you get in a really deep emotional space, sometimes it's just hard to find the words to really express and explain how you're feeling. And so I find that journaling has been a really big piece of that puzzle for me. When I experienced a drought in journaling, and that's happened a couple of times just because of transitions and seasons in life, that's when I tend to feel the most disconnected from who I am, from what I want, and from how I feel. There's something very grounding about journaling that allows me to pause my day and reflect inward so that I can always stay connected to the very deep parts of me. My grandmother used to call it our guts and our gizzards. How do I get connected to my guts and my gizzards, who I really, really am? There was a time in my life, for those of you who know my story, you know that I spent a better part of a year and a couple of months in prison. If you don't know that story, you have to scroll back a couple episodes and catch that. But when you first go into that process, you have a long intake process. That's, for me, was about 7 weeks. And you don't get a lot of materials when you're in that 7-week process. You don't get to order anything or receive much of anything in the mail. And I remember that being such an emotionally heavy, dark, overwhelming space. And what I wanted most was to journal, and I couldn't. There wasn't anybody there I could talk to. No one was my friend. I couldn't pick up the phone and just call anybody at random to discuss how I was feeling. I had no pen and paper to journal. Like, I was really panicking for several weeks of not having a way to unload the burden that was in my heart. And I would try to pray just through my mind, quietly in my own heart, in my own headspace, but it was hard to stay focused and not work myself into more of a panic attack. And so when I was able to get my hands on what was scrap paper, literally there was some pages that came into our section of the jail or the prison that was supposed to be instructions for something. I don't even remember, but the back of the pages were blank. And so I was able to grab a couple sheets of that, borrow a pencil, and I began writing. That led to a very diligent practice of journaling while I was in prison. And I've written a book based off of those journal entries since then. But I remember the expressed feeling of not having that pen and paper to unload my heart, unload my thoughts and my feelings. And what a relief it was to have that feeling of connection and of relief to finally be able to write all of that down. It didn't change the circumstances. It wasn't a magic wand that all of a sudden made everything rosy and cheery with rainbows and unicorns. It was still prison, and it was still a long road and a lot of hard days, but it helped give perspective, and it helped me stay connected to who I am, what I want, and what I was feeling. Now that journal process is a little different, definitely different than how I journaled when I was in prison, but there was a practice that developed while I was in prison that I still use today, and that was to journal three things I was thankful for that day and three things I was looking forward to the next day. And you may have heard me share this concept, you know, over and over. It's one of those things I tend to share a lot and almost preach on, if you will, because I believed so much in the power of positivity that even in a dark place like prison, if I could find three things that I was thankful for that day, specifically to that day, that I could always find the good, and it would let me end my day on a high note. I'd write these three things down in my journal right before I would go to bed. And as I laid my head down on that mat, on that metal bunk in that little prison cell, I could put my head down knowing there was still good in my day, even though I may not have been in the best place. Then adding those three things that I'm looking forward to meant that not only did I go to bed with a grateful heart, with positivity and seeing the good in the day, but I also went to bed with hope for the next day. And giving myself a chance to journal hope and create expectation meant that I would wake up the next morning intently looking for those three things to come true, for those three things to manifest in my day. It made me see the world differently. It made me see that circumstance differently in a place where it is not positive and it is dark and it is hard and it is heavy and a lot of the bad attitudes exist in that space. The journaling of three things I'm looking forward to made me find joy. It made me have hope. It made me appreciate the lessons that I was learning in what was a really tough space. Now, I hope that you never have to be in a situation quite like that to learn some of these journaling takeaways, but I do want to give you that as a reference as to why this has become such an important practice in my own life. When I'm not journaling, it is when I am not in my best space. Journaling is what brings me back to center. It's what brings perspective and hope and gratitude and joy back to my life. And so we're going to dive into five reasons, if all of this wasn't reason enough, for you to consider journaling and why it works and why it's a powerful tool for you to incorporate. And then we're going to talk about a couple of ways to start a journaling habit. So if you're listening to all of this and you're thinking, this sounds all great and good, and I know it's maybe something I should do and something that may help, But by golly, I just don't think I have the time. I don't think I really know what to write about. My life is boring. I don't have anything to write about. We're going to work through all of that. So just hang tight. But let's start by talking about a couple of reasons why journaling is so powerful. The first is that journaling really helps to reduce and eliminate your mental clutter. And I would say your heart clutter as well. You know, when things are left to just bounce around in our brains and bounce around in our hearts, a lot of times things get twisted. They take on different shapes and they can get dark, or they can get in a space where they get denied, or we refuse to acknowledge that. And we just kind of develop some clutter. And I think we all know what that feels like. So when we journal, it helps us to bring that out so that it's not just left to bounce around in our heads and our hearts. It reduces that clutter by allowing us to kind of unload that. But the best part is the benefit of doing that is that in return, you get an injection of productivity and creativity. Each day we have lots and lots of thoughts that run through our minds. Some are big, some are little, some are impactful, some are mundane. But studies kind of estimate that we can have as many as 70,000 thoughts a day. So some of those are important. Some of those impact us. And if we don't have a way to wrap our arms around those thoughts and capture them and then deal with them or sort with them or sit with them even, then those things leave us feeling disconnected. That journaling process of reducing mental clutter, not only do you get that boost of productivity and creativity because you're freeing your heart and your mind to go to those creative spaces and to go to those productive spaces, but it's the thing that helps you recognize, oh man, I think I have some hurt feelings over that comment, or wow, I didn't realize I was feeling that way, or that I was thinking that, or that I have this fear, or that I feel this excitement even. It's the thing that allows you to see how you are and really take a temperature of what you think, what you feel, what you want. Now, how does this help with productivity and creativity? Well, again, it frees up space for those things to flourish. In this book I'm reading right now, it's called Redeeming Your Time, and it's written by a guy named Jordan Rayner. We'll put this information in the show notes so you can reference that. But he talks about open loops and how when we have tasks, especially that we know we need to attend to, but we may not put priority to them. We just kind of remember back in our minds, okay, I need to remember to, you know, leave a check for the plumber when he comes by. Or this just happened to me the other day where I needed to leave a check for our house cleaner and I got busy and it was an open loop in my mind. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. But I ended up walking right out of the house and forgetting to do it. So we have these open loops that cause actually a little bit of stress and anxiety for us, because all the while our subconscious mind especially is trying to keep us reminded of that open loop. And so in this book, Redeeming Your Time, the writer suggests that we create a systematic approach to recording those tasks so that our minds can be free to focus on the present and whatever the task at hand is, rather than always feeling like a portion of our brain is existing elsewhere to remember and hold on to those open loops. And I think that has a lot to do with mental clutter. And in this book, he's really helping to drive the reader to have a more productive, present life. And distractions are the things that keep us from a productive and present life. And if our mind is constantly distracted with these open loops or these open things that we're trying to remember, no wonder it impacts our productivity. And no wonder we miss the chance to let our creativity flourish. And not only just our creativity, but who we are and who we are created to be and designed to be. We call this the Live Revised podcast because we want to challenge you to live life differently, maybe than other people, but more importantly, differently than what you did yesterday, so that every day we're intentionally trying to move the needle forward on the things that matter most to us and our purpose, and that we're really living life with passion and excitement and intention. Well, that can really only happen when we reduce that mental clutter and we know what is our purpose? What am I passionate about? That's an emotion connection right there. What am I doing with my time and my tasks and my effort every day? Do these things resonate with me? Are these the things that are really spurring me on to the life I really want? Or is this just busyness that keeps me distracted and my hands busy, but I'm not really engaging my heart? That's what most of us are struggling with. Like, society today is so easily distracted by every ding and buzz and bling on our phone that we run for every notification to see, like, who liked this, who shared this, what message am I getting, who texted me, what email is this, that we are so easily distracted. And our brains are going in so many different directions. No wonder most of us are living a life that is so far removed from who we were created to be and the purpose we're supposed to be living out. It's so much that we are removed from that I had to create a podcast. And there's many others out there like this one to help people come back to the center of who they are, back to the thing that is purposeful in their life, and to encourage them and empower them to do that with passion. So journaling, it's the thing that unlocks that productivity, that creativity, and it's what will help you declutter your heart and your mind. Second thing is journaling helps you make goals and helps you make them more concrete. Now, while you're journaling, you don't have to write out word for word what your goals are every day, all the time, but talking about them and identifying the wins that are taking you close to those things, that really helps you stay engaged with those goals. Scientists have proven that those who write out their goals are more likely to achieve them than those that do not write them down. Ben Franklin said, "The faintest ink is still better than the sharpest mind," meaning when we write things down, we're more likely to remember them, we're more likely to engage in them, way more than if we just try to remember them. Just like the open loop concept that we were just talking about. When we put things down on paper, it is more concrete. It is what brings our brain back to the absolute focus. And while there may be a lot of tasks and action steps and things that go along with that goal, and rightfully so, when we have it written down, we know what it is that we're working for. So we've developed a goal setting process here at Revision Motivational Company. If you want to learn about that or get some tools in hand to do that, we will include a link in the show notes to direct you to where you can get that. We've created a life evaluation tool to not only help you understand what is important in each of the most important areas of life, but to rank and evaluate where you're at with each one of those so that you can set goals that really matter. Because you know what? The goals that are important to you may not be important to me. And the goals that are important to me, you may not care anything about. It may not be the area of life that matters most right now. And that's okay. We're all different. We're all in different seasons, and different parts of life are more important than others. But what is important and what is critical is that you know what area of life is critical for you right now. And how do I set the goal in that space? And what am I doing to move the needle to get there? And journaling, when it comes to goals, is really powerful. Not only writing that goal down and maybe even writing some of the action steps you need to take to get there, but every day as you're doing those three things you're thankful for, three things you're looking forward to, you can write down and identify the steps you took today or the progress you made today to move towards the goal. Now, you may not have something every single day, and that's okay, but if you put it into your goal process to evaluate your progress, and if you put into your journaling process, hey, I'm going to record this goal progress as I move along, then on the days that you do have those things, you're going to put it down. You're going to write it down on paper. And while you may feel as if this goal is going to take forever to reach, or you may feel challenged that there's not enough progress being made, sometimes flipping back through some previous journal pages and seeing, oh, I did do this. Oh, I had this win. Oh, we made this progress, is very encouraging. It's almost the kindling that helps you re-spark your fire to move ahead inside of that goal. So journaling, it helps your goals become real. It keeps you connected to them, and it helps you check in on what you've made as a goal, what your progress is on the goal, and what steps you might want to take next. The third thing when it comes to journaling is that it helps you learn from your life experiences, and it creates a self-awareness piece for you to learn about you and for you to recognize patterns, behaviors, thoughts, actions, fears, all of the things. As you write things down and as you journal day after day after day after day, you're creating a track record. You're creating a legend to the map of life for you to look back at and get insight on what you're doing. Every conversation, experience, decision, success, failure, mistakes, all of these things provides an opportunity for you to learn. So when you journal, you learn more about yourself, you learn more about life, and as you write about these experiences and decisions and failures and successes, you can write about the lesson you're learning, the perspective you gained, what was the benefit of this, what was the good of this, and then you realize that you're actually filling up your fire, you're putting tools in your toolbox, you're learning about who you are, so that as you move ahead in life, you are more geared for the journey. And journaling can help you have that awareness. The problem is that in our go, go, go kind of world, we move from one thing to the next so fast that oftentimes we don't even stand still long enough to, one, recognize where we just came from and what we did to get there. Two, we don't always take the time to celebrate that, by golly, we made it to that point and we're moving on. That's amazing. Some of those things are super important to celebrate. And third, we don't take the time to sit with how we feel in that space. And like we've already talked before, the chance to reconnect with you, with your heart, with your mind, with what you want is huge to helping you feel like you have purpose, that you have a direction, and that you are moving in the spaces and the places you want to move most. I love the idea of this progress over perfection. But more than anything, I think we need to celebrate direction over perfection, because when we know where we're headed, we can make a plan to move there. Otherwise, progress could be spent wasting our time. Progress could be spent moving in the wrong direction towards the wrong thing. But when we know what we want, we know who we are, and we know how we feel, those are massive key indicators to help us know that we're going in the right direction. Okay, number four. Journaling cultivates self-improvement. This is what builds your self-improvement. This is what helps you live revised, what helps you move the needle to the better version of you day after day. Success is as much in your mind as it is in your efforts. It's about mindset and execution. Why some people can crush things and can turn everything they touch to gold and they set out to achieve all these grand goals, but then you see other people who really struggle to get out of the starting blocks. The difference between those people is that success comes down to the conversation that you have with yourself and the feelings you have around the action steps to take towards that goal. Henry Ford said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." And so a regular journaling practice helps you cultivate this inner voice and this inner power that helps you step into your potential. And it helps you feel empowered, because as you write these things down and you recognize these wins and you cultivate identifying the goal, identifying the wins and the progress for the goal matched with your gratitude and your hope, that's an unstoppable force. And you become changed by that. When I sat in my prison cell day after day, day after day, day after day, writing those things I was thankful for, writing those things I was looking forward to, do you know what changed? The cell did not change. The prison did not change. The circumstances did not change. The people that I saw day in and day out did not change. The rules didn't change. The guards didn't change. The time didn't change. What changed was me. What changed was my heart. What changed was my mindset, my perspective. It was every bit about improving me and about creating a new version of myself day in and day out in order to tackle what was in front of me. And the most important part was that I was committed to whatever change was possible so that I never found myself in this space again. And that started with journaling. And that cultivation of self-improvement and empowerment and enlightenment, huge piece to the puzzle. So right along with that, number five, journaling gives you a permanent record of your growth. When you question, how far have I really come? Because you're in it day to day. You're so close to it. You're right up against it. It is easy to lose sight of all the progress you've made, of all the traction that you've gained. Your journal provides the distance you need to track and appreciate your own journey. It will help you reminisce on your accomplishments, events, memories, experiences. Your journal can allow you to track those thoughts and beliefs and goals. And those things change with time. We know we're multi-layered here. We're not always the same day in and day out, year after year. So this creates a beautiful track record, a beautiful story about your journey in life. Now, you may say, oh my goodness, I never want anybody to read my journal. Okay, that's fine. No one has to read it, but you may read it. You may flip back and look through some of the things that you've written down to bring that awareness piece, to let you see the process you've made, to have that record, to say, man, this is where I was at 2 years ago, but look where I'm at now. Man, have I grown. Man, have things changed. Wow, I'm stronger and smarter and more focused and more passionate and more purpose-filled. That's awesome. That's powerful. And it becomes the fuel to help you go the next leg of the journey. All of these pieces are powerful. 1 through 5, all of these reasons create motivation and pulling out that journal every day and doing this practice. Well, I told you that journaling has been a big part of my life for decades now, but something new happened just a couple of months ago, and I started journaling specifically about my workout experiences. In October, my husband and I joined a pretty intense gym. We do all kinds of weightlifting and training, and it's some intense stuff, something like I've never done before. And as we were early on in our journey, and let's be real, we're still very early on in our journey, but as we started this, the coach at the gym suggested that we write down our workout every day. What did we do in the gym that day? What reps did we do? What weight did we lift? How did it feel? What was the challenge? What was easy? And at first I was sort of like, no, I don't think I really care about that, because right now I'm trying to survive these workouts because they're hard. And it was intimidating walking in there and doing those things when we first started. But as I started to see incremental changes in who I was in the gym, I thought, okay, yeah, I want to start writing some of this down, because hopefully in 6 months, when we come back around doing this thing, I want to know that I'm doing better, that I can do more, or I can lift more, or I can hang on longer, or whatever the case may be. And so I started doing just that. I'd write down the workout. I'd write out what I did. I'd write out how much I did, what weight I used, how I felt, what was challenging, what was great, what was the win that day. And I just sat down this morning to do that for our workout yesterday. And in the process of doing that, I flipped back through what is just, I mean, maybe 2 months of entries. And just in 2 months' time, holy moly, could I see the change in me just in those numbers, just in watching the workouts evolve week after week after week. And so when I tell you that there is so much empowerment found in the pages of your journal, it is so true. Which this leads me to tell you some of the ways, some of the tactical how-tos on journaling. And that is to tell you, number one, there really isn't a right or wrong way to journal. But I will tell you that what has helped me is creating different journals. Now, I have a friend who does a gratitude journal where literally he's just jotting down the things he's thankful for that day. He has a wellness journal where he's tracking his or writing down what he's eaten, what he did for a workout, how he feels, how he slept, how much water did he drink, which is pretty cool. And then he has what he calls his life journal. And that's where he writes more about thoughts and feelings and things that he's encountering in his day. There's also a prayer journal where he writes out prayers and he's able to record the things that are in his prayer life and then the answers or the outcomes of those prayers. Now you might be thinking, holy moly, that's a whole lot of journals. And so I'm not suggesting that you have to start that way. You can start with just one, but start where you feel like it's best for you. If you feel like, man, I really like the idea of a wellness journal, then start there. If you think, man, I like the gratitude thing where I can just list the things I'm thankful for and the things I'm looking forward to, start there. It doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong way. My best advice to you is just pick something and start. Now, the other thing I get when I talk to people about journaling is, well, what kind of journal should I use? Should I go paper? Should I go digital? What way should I go? Should I find a journal that's already created that I just kind of fill in the blanks? Or do I just go get a blank one and just write whatever I want to write? Well, part of this is an evolution, let's say. As you do more journaling, you're going to find a system that works best for you. Now, that might look like paper. It may look digital. Some people are way more comfortable typing on a computer or typing on their phone than they are writing in a book. Now, there's a couple of pros and cons in both of these options. If you are doing a digital version of your journal, there's probably some safeguards that can go into that that are not in a paper version. So you may be able to password protect it depending on where you're putting your journal. It may be stored in the cloud, so you always have a backup. You can maybe organize it and search it a little bit easier instead of just on paper. However, there is some power to pen and paper. When you are writing and your handwriting with your hand, the things, whatever that is, on the page, your brain engages with it a little differently. And there's a lot of scientific studies that show there's power in you writing things out by hand. Your brain not only engages it, but it remembers it. It pays more attention to it because it's seen as something very important. Not that, you know, there still isn't power in a digital option. There's just this little extra oomph, if you will, if you write it in your own handwriting. Either way is going to be fine, especially if you've never done this before. Don't get hung up on what's the best way or the right way. Just start. Just do it. So pen and paper is great. Doesn't matter what kind of journal you have. There's plenty of pre-made type journals where they're formatted for you to kind of answer questions or answer prompts or fill in certain sections. And if you want to find one of those, great, go for it. If that will help you develop the rhythm and the practice of doing a journaling exercise. Otherwise, you can just find any kind of paper and pen and do it. I've had everything from leather-bound journals to cute spiral journals to just regular old notebook paper. Do you guys remember the composition books we used to have to get in high school English? Yep, used those as journals before. Till when I was in prison and had to find scrap paper and journal on that. There's really no magic in what you use. It's just that you use it. And that's where the magic is. So figure out a system, try one on for size. If you don't like it, then change. But you really won't know until you do it for a little bit and you see if you like this or you like that. Again, no right answer, no wrong answer. The answer though is just to get started. I also get asked the question, well, should I journal in the morning or should I journal in the evening? Yes, the answer is yes. Just like there's no wrong or right answer in what to journal on or in, there's no right or wrong answer as to when to do it. For some of my life, early morning has been when I've done my journaling because that's when it worked. Now, my schedule is a whole lot different and I journal in the evening, late at night, closer to like 10 o'clock at night, but it is just what happens according to my calendar right now. That may change again and be something where it's really super early in the morning, but I like to find a time, again, day or night, doesn't matter, but you want a time where things are quiet, where you can be in a quiet space and you can hear yourself think and you can tap into how you feel and you can write as much as you can without distraction. So that may be getting up earlier before everybody else. So you have, 15, 20 minutes before everybody hits the floor to have that quiet time. Maybe it's after everyone goes to bed. It doesn't really matter, morning or night, but the quiet space is what will help you feel like you have utilized the time well. Now, there are some journal entries that are very deep and very thought-provoking and very powerful. Then there are some journal entries that are ABC, 1, 2, 3, here's how I did it. You know, just very through the motions. And the reason why I tell you that is because I don't journal just when I feel like I need to journal. I make myself journal every day. And the reason for that is because it's a muscle memory thing. It is a piece of me that needs to be reminded that this is a space, this is a time where I can unload. And maybe that unload is huge, with lots of things going on, and maybe sometimes it's barely anything. But I want to keep in the practice and in the exercise of journaling. The other thing is, sometimes I don't realize that a journal entry is going to be heavy or going to be deep until I start. And it just may be that in that day or in that timeline that I was really sucked into a lot of things and I didn't really know or see that I was feeling a certain way, or holding some stress, or feeling insecure, or dealing with some sort of circumstances because I was just in a go, go, go pattern, right? We do that, especially when we're in a hard time. Most of us, I think, if you're a type A personality, especially like I am, you just move to the next task. Like, I will deal with my feelings later. Right now, it's a critical moment. I need to just move to the next thing and get the next thing done and tackle the next challenge because there's just a lot here. And I've been in those spaces, and there are times where that is how it has to be. And I don't realize that I've shifted into that mode until I sit down with my journal and I allow myself a chance to breathe, a chance to slow down, a chance to be in a quiet, safe space. And then all of those emotions kind of bubble to the surface as I start writing. And now all of a sudden, what was going to be just a quick journal entry because I didn't think I had anything turns into something way more because I was just carrying a lot in my heart and in my head. So you can't judge a journal entry by how you feel in the moment. Make yourself do it regardless. Just like working out, when you go to the gym or you take a walk or you do something for your body to move it, to shape it, to exercise, you may not feel like doing it. Right? You don't go to the gym just when you feel like it. You go regardless, and you go in a schedule and in a routine because that's the thing you have to keep doing in order to keep doing it, right? And sometimes you're going to go and you're going to have a killer workout where you just knock it out of the park and you feel good and you feel strong and you walk away feeling great. And then there's some that are really hard and some things that are really challenging and you maybe don't feel as great. But you don't base the next experience off of the last experience. If you really want to see results and you really want to see progress, you just keep showing up day after day after day after day. And that's how it is with journaling. You can't base this journaling experience today based on yesterday's journaling experience. If not, you're going to feel like, well, last week I had 7 days of just sort of phoning in type entries where I just wrote what I was thankful for and what I was looking forward to, and I moved on. So maybe I just shouldn't journal. No, keep doing it. Because when it comes to the point where you need journaling to unpack and unload, you're going to already have told your inner self and your subconscious mind, hey, just hold on, because tonight when we get home or tomorrow morning when we're up before everybody else, you have this already created routine to allow you to unpack and unload. And you're gonna get this time and space to do it. So just hang on till we get there. And so this becomes a really reliable tool, if you will, for your heart and your mind. So do it regardless, no matter what the last experience was, no matter if you have a lot to say or you don't have very much to say at all, just keep in the practice of it. That is what is most important. So we talked about what to use. We've talked about when to start journaling and how does it feel when you journal and should I journal when I don't feel it? Last thing I want to share with you in this idea of how to do it is to create a rhythm of your journaling. So for me, like I said, I do the 3 things I'm thankful for, the 3 things that I'm looking forward to. I try to write down in that type of journal my prayers, and that sometimes it's just a bullet list and sometimes it's a more sentence structure type of list, but I try to write down some things I'm praying about. And then I write down things about the day that make me have a feeling. So I don't write down, well, I went to the grocery store today, unless I go to the grocery store and there's some feeling like I was in the produce aisle and I had an emotional breakdown. Or, you know, I met this lady at the grocery store and we got to chatting and we had this great conversation and she really lifted me up. Okay, that's an experience that's a feeling, that's an encounter that I may want to write about in my journal. And so I always want to create space in the journal that allows me to kind of record some of my experiences or things that I don't want to forget. So special moments, special thoughts, prayers, that kind of thing. And then I want to have space in my journal for anything that's on my heart. What is heavy? What is hard? What is feeling burdensome? What is kind of stuck there that needs to be worked out? Sometimes there's things to write in this rhythm and sometimes there's not. But you can look through my journal entries and kind of see the same flow, if you will. And you can use the flow I use. It's A-okay. I give you permission to copy that. Or you can develop your own. And sometimes, depending on the season of life, that rhythm looks a little differently. When I was journaling 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I didn't have that same rhythm as I do now. And I'm going to guess 10 years from now, I'm going to have a different rhythm then too. But you kind of develop that as you move along. But sometimes it helps as you're getting started to kind of keep those prompts in mind. Three things I'm thankful for, three things I'm looking forward to. What is heavy on my heart? What do I feel? And how's the heart check right now? Like, what's really weighing on me? And then what are some special thoughts or moments or prayers that I want to keep in my journal and keep close by? The last tip I'll give you is to create the time. We said either morning or night or when there's quiet space, that's going to be your time to journal, but make it a creation for you, meaning go to a comfy chair, you know, set the lights a certain way, get your favorite blanket, get your favorite cup of tea, make it a self-care type of routine. Don't just make it a chore, but if you center it around other things that help you get geared up for the day or things that help you unwind from the day, this is going to make it feel a little more natural to get into this habit. There are some people that call this habit stacking. So if you already have the habit of sitting down and reading at night, then just work journaling into that habit. Or if you already have a habit of starting your morning in prayer or reading the Bible, then add journaling in as part of that. If you get up early and you stretch and you go for a run, then tack on journaling on the end of it. Whatever your routine may be, there's a way to slip in a couple of minutes to do some journaling. And it really only has to be that. It doesn't have to be hours of journaling. You don't have to fill pages of your journal. You know, just a couple minutes will do your heart and your head good. Hey friends, if you have loved this topic of journaling and you're thinking that this is something you want to incorporate, or maybe you've done journaling in the past, but gotten a little rusty on the process, well, I have the perfect tool for you. It is our Get Going system, which is a three-part system to help you not only launch into this idea of journaling, but to help you set goals and clarity around what matters most in life. As part of the Get Going system, you will receive a workbook that has some of my best teaching on goals, life evaluation, identifying what matters most, what you should be incorporating in your life to make it count, and the intentional steps you can take to see real change and growth in your life. The second part is a great planner that helps you actually plan some action steps and helps you actually plan some change. It comes with several weeks of planning pages, a monthly goal tracker, and several other worksheets to help you put some thought and action behind the things you want after most. And then my favorite part is a journal that comes along with the system. And the journal has my patented format of journaling that we've talked about in this episode, specifically jotting down the things you're thankful for, the things that you're looking forward to, what's on your heart, and those special thoughts, moments, and prayers that you want to make sure you capture. This three-part system is available in the link here in the show notes, as well as going to christybrowning.com, visiting our online shop. You will find it there. It is titled the Get Going System. I promise you, if you put this little thing in your hands and you really utilize what's there, you will embark on a journey that you will have a whole new mindset, a whole new thought process on what you want out of life and how you can get there. Remember, we talked about today that journaling is helping you see what you want, how you feel, and who you are. And in those three things, the Get Going System is perfect for helping you uncover that. If you want more, check the show notes.